Tonight, and God, we thank you for the privilege that you've given us of being able to go into these homes of these young people. And I pray, God, that you'll anoint us as we go in. Would you use us, guide, lead, and direct us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18, you'll notice the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now you'll notice what we have here is what we call the Great Commission. And somebody said that the Lord Jesus Christ's last command, and you're looking at it, this is it, His last command should be our first concern. Now think about that statement. In other words, when he died and was buried and rose again, the last command he gave to his disciples before he ascended back to heaven was go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now his last command should be our first concern. There's no doubt about that. And May I remind you that what we have is the Great Commission. A lot of times, churches, God willing, our church is not going to be guilty of this, but a lot of times churches are guilty of doing part one of a three-part plan. They're good about going, but they're worse about baptizing and even worse about teaching. And we at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church want to be balanced, no doubt about it. Amen. Now what I mean by that, if we're going to be lopsided in anything, I'd rather be lopsided than the soul winning. Okay? Because obviously people are lost and they need the Savior. But once they're saved, God wants them to become a disciple. Dr. Clarence Sexton says it's not really follow up, it's follow Christ. And really that's what we're talking about. Because see, whenever you take these little children and you get them baptized, help them follow the Lord, and then you teach them the Bible and they become a disciple, and then they reproduce themselves, and it just keeps growing and growing and growing. Now tonight what we're going to look at is we're going to look at following up on a child's salvation decision. Let me say something to you. This is something that's a burden on my heart. I call it targeting groups. And what I mean by that, there are people in this congregation that there are different group types that summarize you. For instance, we have ladies, there's a group. We have men, there's a group. We have fathers, there's a group. We have mothers, there's a group. We have grandparents, there's a group. We have senior saints, there's a group. We have children, we have youth. I mean, on and on you could go. And may I say something to you? That when we're going into these children's homes, we are targeting another group. And the group we're targeting is the parents of these children. Now, stay with me here. If you'll read right here with me, the Bible tells us in Luke 18, 16 and 17, "But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of heaven as a little child or like a little child, shall in no wise enter therein." Now these statements show us that the Lord Jesus is very interested in children. He loves all the children of the world. And he wants them all to be saved at the youngest possible age. Therefore, at any time we see children coming to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, it's an exalted privilege. However, once they understand and receive the Lord Jesus Christ into their hearts to be their Savior, our job is not finished. We must continue to follow the Great Commission, attempting to get them baptized and teaching them the truths of God's Word. Now, we are attempting this inside the homes of these precious little ones who've received the Lord at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and in specific, during neighborhood Bible time. Let me say this to you. If you worked in Bible time, God bless you. And God met with us. There's no doubt about that. I mean, over 120 children made professions of faith in Jesus Christ. Now somebody says, did they all get saved? If they all meant it, they all got saved. Amen. And what I'm saying, it's exciting when children come to the Lord and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a great thing? And it's a privilege when it happens here at our church.
Now, when it happens at our church, God gives us great responsibility. And what I mean by that is that understand that when a child comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, let's just take, for instance, that Bob is a child and say that he is one of the neighborhood Bible time children who came and trusted the Lord and rode on one of our buses, okay? Say he's 8 years old. He acts like it, but just say he's 8 years old. And he came and he made a profession of faith and he trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Let me tell you what happened. What happened is now he's not going to hell, he's going to heaven, but something along with that is this. Now his entire family door is open to us. It's already open. You know what one of the hardest things to do in soul winning is? Getting the door. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But when you approach the door and say, "We're the church where you allowed your child to ride the bus, and they made a great decision, and we just want to come in and talk to you about it," folks, more than likely they're going to say, "Come on in." Now stay with me here. I'm going to give you a simple approach. And by the way, I'm going somewhere with this because I hope you noticed on your way in that in the lobby there's a table back there with all of these yellow cards. What are those yellow cards? Those are the decision cards from Neighborhood Bible Time. They're divided by bus route and by geography, and I'm challenging you already, and I'll emphasize this at the end of the message, for you all to get some cards in your area. If you live in Gray, get some cards in Gray. If you live in Kingsport, get some cards in Kingsport. And help these bus captains by going into the homes, and let's try to reach mom and daddy for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to show you how to do this. Follow along with me, number one. Now, we're standing at the door, and I'm just going to just simply go down through this and just work through it. And if you have questions, you can see me later, whatever the case may be. Number one, you're standing at the door. You've knocked on the door. Number one, introduce yourself and the church to the parents. In other words, when they open the door, don't just say, "My name is Jody Jenkins." Say, "My name is Jody Jenkins. This is my wife, Becky. We're from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, where you allowed your children to come to Neighborhood Bible Time." Okay? Immediately identify yourself. Number two, along with this, ask to come inside to share something with the parents that they will want to know. You can do that in different ways. In other words, you can say, "You know, we're here, and your child made a very important decision while they were with us, and we'd like to come in and share with you what that decision is. Would that be okay if we do that?" Now, folks, now I realize some people say, "Well, I'm too busy." But unless somebody's a jerk, when it's their own children, they're probably going to be very interested in what you have to say. More than likely, you're going to get inside the door, okay? Then number three, as soon as you get in the door and sit down, you want to show appreciation to them for allowing their children to come to our church. Let me ask you a question. Did they all send their children with the right motive? Absolutely not. Some of them sent them to get them out of the house. Some of them send them because it's free babysitting for them. But anyway, if they did not send them, they wouldn't be here. I know that's a deep statement, isn't it? But if they wouldn't allow them to come, they wouldn't have been here. So the first thing we want to do is show appreciation to them by saying, "Folks, we just want to come by, first of all, and say thank you for allowing us to take your children to our church. It was a privilege of ours to have them, and we realized that if you didn't allow them to come, that they wouldn't have been there. Thank you so much for entrusting us with your children." Okay? Then number four, express your desire to honor the parents by informing them about their child's decision. Now, what's that mean? If you're a parent, would you not appreciate somebody coming to you if your child was going to a church? Would you not appreciate the leadership coming to you to explain everything that that child heard and that that child did in their church? Would you not be honored if they told you as the mom and daddy? Sure you would. So what we're doing is we're simply showing them appreciation for letting us bring them. And then we say, "You know, we at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, we realize that the parents have an exalted position. And we don't want to put anything under the mat. We want to put everything out in the open. Your child made a great decision at our church, and we want to come by and share with you what that decision was." And then immediately you go on to point five, and you begin to share the gospel with the mom and dad. In other words, you're going to say this. You knock on the door. Hello, my name's Jody. This is my wife, Becky. We're from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, the church where you allowed your children to ride the bus to come to neighborhood Bible time. Your child made a great decision during that week, and we'd like to come in and just share with you as the parents what that decision is. Is that okay? Thank you so much. By the way, God bless you for allowing your child to come to neighborhood Bible time. We realize that you know, if you didn't allow them to come, that they wouldn't have been able to come. Thank you so much for entrusting your child to us. And because you entrusted your child to us, we want to be upfront and honest with you by sharing with you the decision they made, and here's how it got worked up to. Here's what they heard, and here's the decision they made, number one. And then you give the gospel. Now, if you give the gospel like I do with my hand, I've written that down for you. If you don't, just give it however you give it, but make sure it's the scriptural way, folks. Make sure you're giving the gospel. Now, let me say this. Point five is probably the most important point of the entire section, because it is showing, and you're using the child as an excuse to present the gospel to the parent. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Everybody understand that? If you don't, I'm going to start all over again. Does everybody understand that? Yeah, I mean, you get that, right? You're using the child as an excuse to present the gospel in clear terms. Then number six, when you're done with the gospel, you ask the parents if they are 100% sure after hearing this, if they are 100% sure that they're going to heaven according to what they've just heard. Now, and then I've got in parentheses, act according to their response. In other words, if they say yes, you can ask them something like this. Now, I don't have this in your notes, but you can ask them something like this. If you don't mind me asking, how do you know for sure that you're going? And if they give you anything other than what the true answer is, then you can try to guide them along. If they answer right, then you proceed to number seven, okay? In other words, after you deal with the parents. Now, we trust through this, we're praying to this end that these parents will trust Jesus Christ on these visits. That's one of the purposes. Because let me tell you something, these children who trust the Lord, thank God for that. But folks, if they live in I'm talking about the pit of the dungeon and the pit of hell all week long, they may not grow very much. But if God can reach the parents, do you realize a little 8-year-old child can be the starting point to turn the entire family to Jesus Christ? He really can. And I believe that. And I'm glad it's that way. And all I'm saying to you, we're going after the mom and daddy. That's how you do it up to point number six. Then point seven, find out if the child really understood the decision they made. For instance, you have just given the gospel. You have just explained to the parents that they have made the decision to trust Christ. Then you ask them, are you 100% sure that you're going to heaven? You've dealt with the parents, okay? Whatever happens, if the child is sitting there, then you're going to make sure he understood. Now, here's how you do that. You can do it this way. Look at letter A. You can do this by simply asking them why they went back during neighborhood Bible time to be dealt with. Just ask them and let them answer. Now, if this child says, well, I had to go to the bathroom, what's that tell you? What's it tell you, folks? It tells you they don't understand what they're doing, right? But we've still given the gospel to mom and daddy. You understand what I'm saying? But we're not going to proceed to try to get the child baptized if he didn't even understand what he did. Now, you understand that, don't you? That's why we're waiting to point seven to bring that out, because we want to get the gospel into the home first, okay? Now, if you'll flip the page over, if they show assurance of their salvation, and we trust they will because every one of these kids were dealt with, and if they meant it, they got it. Amen? Isn't that great? I mean, if they meant it, they got it. But we want to make sure they got it, okay? Make sure they understand. And how else to do that but just ask, okay? By the way, keep in mind that we're going towards this half sheet, but you're going to make notes on here. In other words, the child did not understand. You're going to make notes on here and turn it back in, okay? So just keep that in mind. Now, once they have assurance, then you're going to go into baptism with them. Roman numeral 8, explain the next step after salvation is to follow the Lord in baptism. Now, I've given you a little outline here,
And by the way, do not feel bad to have this piece of paper with you and hold it out and work down through it with them. It doesn't matter what they think. It matters that they get it. You understand? In other words, you've dealt with the mom and daddy. The child has assurance. Now you're proceeding to the baptism step. And I've given you some things about baptism. The main thing that you want to do is work down through this outline with them. They must understand baptism is after salvation. This is found, I'm not going to take time to turn to them, but this is found in Acts 2:41, Acts 18:8. Secondly, they need to understand that baptism has nothing to do with their salvation. Nothing. It's like a wedding ring. And I think you've heard me say this before, but this wedding ring right here does not make me married. My verbal commitment to my wife makes me married. But this wedding ring is a symbol to the world that I'm a married man. In the same way, baptism has no saving power. All it is a symbol of what's happened in the heart already. For instance, it's a beautiful picture when these folks stand in the water crosses their body. That's a picture of the cross where Jesus died. When the preacher takes them down below the water, that's a picture of Jesus being buried in the tomb. When he brings them up, that's a picture of Jesus being resurrected and walking in newness of life. It's a beautiful picture. Has no saving power. They need to understand that. I've given you some verses right there. Letter C, they need to understand that baptism is a command of God. It's not a suggestion. It is a command. Number four, understand that baptism is by immersion. That means being taken under the water, and baptism is to be administered by the local church. They need to understand that their daddy can't go out in the backyard and baptize them in the pool in that scriptural baptism. That is out of line scripturally. Now, you'll be amazed that some people believe that. They think they can just go be baptized in a swimming pool by their dad or their aunt or anybody else, and God's pleased with that. No, He's not. Because God gave that ordinance to the local church. It's a local church ordinance that needs to be administered by the local church. Now, you see, I'm going towards our special day on July the 19th, okay? Now, once you've explained that, it should be Roman numeral 9, but it's Roman numeral 11 there. Explain the special baptismal service we have planned for their child on Sunday, July the 19th. There's a special baptismal class that'll meet at 10, and we're going to tell the parents that we encourage them to go to that class with their child. Folks, put the pressure on them. You say, now listen. Your child's 8 years old, and it's a brand new class, and it'd make them feel so much better if you came and sat in the class with them. Would you do that? Wouldn't it be great for you to do that? And start turning the pressure up on them a little bit, okay? Just start turning the pressure up on them. Then, letter B under Roman numeral 11 there for you, the baptismal service will be held during the 11 o'clock service. What are we doing? We're telling them exactly what we're doing. Exactly. They come at 10, they know there's a special class, they know the baptism service is not till 11. You're going to encourage them to come at 10 with their child to sit in the class. Then number 12 for you, explain to the parent that we will not baptize their child without their written permission. Now take the half sheet of paper out with me, please. This is the back side of the decision card if you decide to help us with these decisions. If you'll notice on the left-hand side at the bottom where it says, I, the parent or guardian of, does everybody see that? We will not baptize children without the parent's signature in that blank. Did you hear what I just said? Now, would you appreciate that as their parent? Would you? Sure. Now, if they don't sign it, we're not going to baptize them. But if they do, they're going to appreciate it. And by the way, even if they don't, they're still going to appreciate you asking. And you can leave an open door there, okay? So there is where number 12 on your outline comes in. If they give you permission, number 13, ask parents. In other words, you're going to tell them, by the way, we are not going to baptize your child or any child without the parent's written permission. And then you follow it by explaining to the parent, asking the parent for their permission to have their child baptized. And if they say yes, that's fine. Then you're going to take out the card, turn it over and say, if you don't mind, just to sign it right there. Okay? And that's for our records and everything else. All right? Then number 14, if you're following me, if they give permission, then you're going to start turning the heat up again.
You're going to express your desire to have them come to the special baptismal service on July the 19th. Here's how you can do that. Okay? Not only use yourself, but use the pastor. Now, this is the preacher. I'm the co-pastor. Use us. Use the bus captain. Are there any bus captains in here who would not like to see the parents get on the bus on July the 19th? If so, come and see us. You're no longer a bus captain as far as I'm concerned. I say that because I know there are any. There aren't any. You want help, right? Bus captains, can I get an amen right there? Amen. I'll amen for you. And all I'm saying to you is that right here, we're going to strongly encourage the parents to be in the service July the 19th in the morning. Now, why do you think we're having a morning baptismal service? Because the buses are running. Oh, we're deep around here, aren't we? The buses are running. And they can get on board. Now, I've given you kind of a sample thing here. Brother Gary and I was kind of going over this today. And I think this was his idea. But anyway, I'll go ahead and take credit for it. It says this. We simply want to inform you of this special service as we know that you will want to be in attendance to see your child take this important step in his or her Christian walk. In other words, you're not really asking them. You're telling them that they ought to be here in a nice way. Say, now, we know as the parent that you're going to want to come see Johnny or Susie be baptized. Now, we know you're going to, and that's why we're having it on Sunday morning, so you can just get right on the bus with them. Or if you want to drive in, that's fine, but you can just get right on the bus with them if you want to, because it's a special day. The preacher wants you there. The co-pastor wants you there. The bus director wants you there. The bus captains want you. I mean, our people are looking for you, because, hey, we're going to be looking for them, folks. We're going to be looking for you. This is a special day for your child. You don't want to miss it. Don't want to miss it. And then you follow it up. Ask them right there. Say, will you plan to come and see your child baptized? It's such an important thing. Would you be our special guest? They say, well, I'll think about it. If they say, I'll think about it, make a note of that, keep the card and call them on Saturday night. Say, you thought about it? We'll see you tomorrow. Okay? Really turn the heat up on these folks. Then you're going to close the visit by thanking them for their time and close in prayer. Close in prayer. Now, I hurriedly went through that, but let me say this to you. On the back in the lobby, there are cards, I've already said this, that's divided by bus route and geography. I encourage you, I am begging you, I am pleading with you. Folks, Sunday morning, July the 19th has a lot of potential. It has a lot of potential. Do you realize that the parents will come see their child baptized when they would never darken the door of a church at any other time? Now, you know that, don't you? Do you understand that? We've got to take advantage of this. It's targeting a group. We're targeting them. We're honing in on them. Right there they are, and we're going after them. And we need your help. We've got to have your help. And what we're asking you to do is as you leave tonight to go by the table, whether by geography or by bus number, whatever the case may be, because the buses are by geography anyway, and get some cards, whether it be 1, 2, 3, or 4. By the way, if you get a card and there's one under it, then that means that's either somebody in the same home or same street, okay, or same apartment complex. Go into these homes, follow them up, and try to fill out the entire back if you can. Now, I want you to take this right here. Look at it with me just a moment, because I've not gone over this, but I just want to point this out to you to show you something that's on this card that you may be wondering about. If you'll notice the top left, does he or she have assurance? That's talking about the child who made a decision. If it's no, then circle it. If it's yes, then circle it. Does he or she desire baptism? Yes or no? Circle it. Are they faithfully attending church? Yes or no? Circle it. You don't have to worry about the discipleship program, because in our church we have a children's discipleship program that Stephanie Krause, I believe, is running. Brother John is running through the children's church. And maybe you didn't even know that, but we do. And all these children, God willing, will be taken through this children's discipleship program. You're trying to get the signature of the parent or guardian. Then on the right side of the paper, this is if everything goes so smooth and good night, what else can you do? Okay. What this is on the right side are names of friends and family who would be prospects. That's self-explanatory, I hope. In other words, you're in the home. mom and daddy said, I don't go to church anywhere. Or yes, I'm going to come. I'll be there Sunday morning. Great. Do you know of anybody else in your family who might like to come? What's their name? If you don't mind, give me the phone number or an address. You know, we'd like to contact them too. What are we doing? We're building our prospects is what we're doing. You see what I'm saying? You get that if at all possible. If at all possible, okay? Because I'll tell you something the Lord's been teaching me. Everybody has ends with somebody. Everybody. I'm talking about there are people that you'll visit in these homes that they have moms and dads and grandmas and grandmas, not granddogs, but so on, that they know who are lost and out of church. And they know them, but we don't. It may take us a month to find them on door to door, but they can tell you, well, they live there and we can go after them now, you see. That's what that section is with the names and addresses of friends and family. Okay? This is training time tonight, and this is important. It really is. This is part of the Great Commission. Now I want to ask you a question. Will you help us? If I was mean, I'd have you stand if your answer was yes, but I'm not going to be mean. I just want to ask you this question. Here it is. What do you think the Lord would have you to do? Well, I've got a ball game. Well, my kids have, you know, they just got ball. I don't have any time at all. Did you sleep last night? Did you eat supper? Did you watch a TV program? Are you going to help us? I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to ask you a simple question. What is God's will for you to do? What does God want? If you can take a Bible and come right up here and show us that God does not want you to help in this, fine. Here it is. Come show me. You can't. But you know you've been commanded to do the other part, right? May God help us to do it. Amen. Is this important? How do we know it is? Because it's in God's Word. And I'm challenging you. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to come if he doesn't mind because he's going to close the service. Preacher and I have to get to a funeral. But the thing is, Brother Gary's going to lead you in this about how to get the cards. You can lead this however you see fit, Brother Gary. And that table will be set up in the back for at least probably a week unless all the cards are taken tonight. It'll be set up. And if you have further questions about how to deal with things, and so on, you can come see us, but please help us with this if you don't mind, okay? Let's all bow our heads together, and Brother Gary's going to come.
I don't think it's being mean to get people to commit themselves. We've got about 80 cards back there, and I'm going to ask, your heads are bowed, no one's looking around, but if you would say, I'm going to commit myself in the next week and a half to make 4 or 5 visits. I'm going to try to get 4 or 5 cards knocked out in a week and a half. We need about 20 people or couples that would do that. I'm going to have you stand. If you say, we need to get these covered, folks. This is an open door. And I don't want bus captains to stand. Phil, sit down. Okay, these are non-bus captains that would say, I'll take 4 or 5 of these cards over the next week and a half, and I will go into these homes. Now, folks, we've got 3 standing. 3 people can't cover 80. All right, praise the Lord. That, I don't know how many that is, but that's got to be close to what we need. Praise the Lord. Good. I'm going to let you stay standing. I'm going to pray for you, okay? Lord, now bless these folks. They make these visits. Open the hearts of these parents. And Lord, may we see many folks saved. What an open door you've given to us. And I'm excited about how we can touch our communities, how many folks can come to Christ through this special effort. And Lord, each person who's standing now, they're committing themselves to making 3, 4, 5 visits in the next week and a half. God, may you have your hand upon them. May you give them wisdom and direction. May your Spirit guide them. May they find the folks at home and have fruitful visits, I pray. You may be seated. In Jesus' name, amen. Right. Just before we send you off, thank you for committing yourself to do that. I tell you, this is an open door. Now, I don't really like going door to door. You know, you never know what you're going to find. But these are kids. I mean, this is an open door, folks. I mean, we know their children. We work with their children. We have a right to be there. This is good stuff. And I pray we're going to see some exciting things happen in the next week or so. And again, as you go back to get the cars tonight, as Brother Jody said, try to get some close to your house. Get some that are in the same area so you don't have to drive over the countryside. And that'll be wonderful. When you get done, I don't know if you mentioned or not, you can turn them back into him. You can put them in his box by his door or the Sunday school table, any of those places. But boy, may the Lord help us see a bunch of folks saved through this. Before you go to bus meeting and the visitation meeting, remind you there are two sign-up sheets in the lobby. Brother Bob, if you want to go, or whoever, you have somebody manning your table? You have some teens back there or something? You're going to, though, aren't you? Good. You might do that right now, because I'm going to let these people loose in just a second. And then on the sign-up sheet for the senior dinner is behind this door over here what's that thing called? Bulletin board. Thank you. You guys are a lot of help. Sign up for those as you make your way out. Okay? All right. Lord bless you. John, go ahead and take your crew to the chapel for a bus meeting. If you're going to the visitation meeting downstairs, Brother Bob's going to head that up as soon as he gets folks at his table. Lord bless you, folks. Get those cards as you depart. You are dismissed.